Hello, and welcome to another episode of the Nintendo Entertainment Podcast. I am Triforce Todd, and joining me today is Wario Will.
We just had a 35th anniversary for Mario last week. Now this week is another quote-unquote direct of a spin-off for Legend of Zelda. What's next for next week? I don't know. It seems like we probably have a good inkling for, I don't know, Splatoon 3 or Samus Returns. I don't know. Something seems to be coming up these past weeks for Nintendo now. It's just so strange.
Well, as you all know, Will, timing absolutely is everything. So, I mean, it's not... I don't know, really, like, what they could do. Because I honestly don't know what the next anniversary is.
It's going to be interesting. I mean, heck, I would be very surprised if, like, I don't know, next week they suddenly drop, here's an F-Zero trailer. I don't know.
Keith would die. Oh, and also here, of course, is Tellius Tyler.
Yeah, I don't expect an F-Zero trailer next week.
No.
I don't expect a whole lot else for a while, honestly.
Now, before we start, I need to ask an honest question to Tyler. How are you doing?
How am I doing?
Yes, because I know there was a traumatic event in your life this week. And
yes.
I want to know how you're recovering.
I'm recovering just fine.
Yeah. Well, for those of you who don't know, on me and Will's favorite shows, Death Battle, there was a fight between Wally West of DC Comics and Archie Sonic. And Wally West literally blew Sonic out of the multiverse. I'm so sorry for your loss.
Yeah, you know, Death Battle's dumb and I hate
it. How dare you insult Death Battle? No. But have you actually read any of the Archie Sonic comics?
No, I bought like a few when I thought for like 10 seconds I was going to like collect Sonic stuff. And then I realized that was not me. And then I didn't. And they were like for like 50 cents at Barnes & Noble or something. Like they were real old.
Well, this was cheap. Man.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, the only time I remember watching like Sonic was back like the old classic cartoons back in the early 90s as well as Sonic Underground. That was my early memory of the show. Yeah.
Jaleel White. Rest in peace. He's not dead, but his career is high.
Oh no.
Yeah, I went there. See, everyone's like, "Oh, Family Matters was great." No, it wasn't. It was a story about a stalker named Steve Urkel, and Steve Urkel killed Jaleel White's career. Prove me wrong. You can't. So stop it.
Oh, please. You don't need to be so cheesy about it.
Did you do that? Yeah, you did. Trying to outpun me. It between you and me, Will, your win's low. Get it? Anyway. So we also do have an interesting show for you tonight because we got some good pieces of news, we got some interesting reveals, and we got a look at 2020 from our perspective because honestly at this point they literally can't do anything to salvage it. I'm so sorry. Not really. But we're gonna start off with what have you been playing? I'll go first because, sadly, my week has once again been very, very busy. And every time I try and go and play video games, it just backfires. Except, of course, with Fire Emblem Heroes, which I reserve an hour for every night. Now, the recent... Tempest Trials. Yeah, Tempest Trials was a spinoff of the recent Banner, which was the Dancer's Banner. And I didn't like this Dancer's Banner. Sorry, hiccups. I didn't like this Dancer's Banner for a very simple reason. The pair characters, the duo, is Sigurd and Deirdre from Genealogy of the Holy War. And anyone who knows what happens to Sigurd, which I've talked about a lot on this podcast, it's not right that they're together. And I know some Fire Emblem fans are like, well, wait a minute, they actually were together, and they know they had Seelith. And I'm like, yeah, then she gets brainwashed. Arvis burns Sigurd to the ground, literally. And then bad things happen, and then good things happen, and then bad things happen. So, like, to see them dancing and then talking so lovingly to each other, that hurts me in my soul, because that's not how their story ends. Alright? That is not cool at all. But that's not the only reason I bring this up. So, in the aftermath of the Dancer Banner, they had a revival banner, one of which had Sigurd in it, and one of which had Deirdre in it. And so... one of them was, actually two of them had Sigurd, now that I recall. Anyway, one of them was Sigurd, Deirdre, and Eldigan, who I do not have. I've honestly wanted to get Eldigan for a very long time, and I have never gotten him. So I I go into this banner and I think, okay, if I get a red, I'm going to use that and I'm going to go for Eldigan. I don't get a red. I get greens, a blue, and a colorless. I'm like, suck. So I'm like, well, maybe I'll summon a Deidre again. So I press a green and I get a 5-star Deidre. Okay.
Same here. Yeah.
It gets better. So I'm like, okay, that's interesting. Ah, ha, ha, ha. And so the next day, another banner comes up, and Sigurd is in this one. So I draw, and I'm like, there's a red. Oh, maybe I'll get Sigurd. Press the red. I summon. I get a 5-star Sigurd. Like, really? Like, what are the odds of this after? Like, why can't it always be that easy? I mean, I know I have said, maybe I'll get this character, and nothing's ever happened, but the one time I do it, like, sarcastically, I summon them both 5-stars back-to-back. And apparently, that was my 4th Deidre and my 3rd Sigurd.
Wow.
Apparently, like, I might have the number. I know I had more Deidres than Sigurd, so I make up that as you will. But, like, really? So, naturally, since I didn't really invest in the Dancer banner because my soul was shattered after seeing Sigurd and Deidre together and happy again, I'm saving up my orbs and I'm getting closer to 300, so by the time the next true banner comes around, I'll hopefully have enough to get some good characters, but...
Yeah, what is this revive? Because they got rid of the Choose Your Legends characters, and then they did a revival banner of, like, the Thracia 776 characters.
Right.
I don't like that. They're, like, going to be here for, like, a week. We're not going to get new characters for a while. I was looking forward to the next banner.
Yep. And then I know you had some strong thoughts on the Dancer banner in general, Tyler.
No, I didn't have strong thoughts about it. I wasn't interested in it. I am tired of them recycling the same themes. Like, I get it for summer, like the bathing suit thing, going to the beach. I get that. I'm not too annoyed about that. But, like,
I am
dancing in September. What is, like, I don't, why is dancing in September like that? I don't know if that's a thing. When I think of September, I think of, like, the thought bubble. Like, Green Day is the first thing that comes to mind. Well, and then, like, back to school and, like, I don't know, the leaves, like, kind of change. Yeah. Like, you know, fall's a thing.
This just in, Tyler doesn't listen to Earth, Wind, and Fire.
That's what my older brother said. My older brother said the first thing he thought of was Earth, Wind, and Fire.
Yeah, that's right.
I mean, like, we're approaching the Halloween season. I mean, if anything else, a lot of people are already starting to celebrate Halloween right now.
Yeah,
so, like, in due time, we're going to get that Halloween banner in due time.
Yeah. Which course, is ironic, because, like, we probably won't get Halloween this year.
Yeah, right.
Tell me I'm wrong. Also, Tyler, you do know why we think of Earth, Wind, and Fire, right?
Yeah, they just have the song's just called September, right?
Yes and no. Yes, it is called September, but one of the lines is, do you remember, it's like, anyway, the chorus goes on dancing in September and on, so I don't know if that's actually why they do it, but that's why we think of Earth, Wind, and Fire, because there's a line saying dancing in September, so you see,
I'm not crazy about my Chicago bands, you know, people who live in Illinois I'm generally not crazy about, so.
Oh, really? You're not crazy about people in Illinois, are you?
Generally speaking, yeah.
Uh-huh. Okay. I'm gonna let Barack know that you're not a fan, and he's gonna be very disappointed in you, Tyler, that you do not like great men from Illinois. No. So yeah, but honestly, I have not played anything outside of Heroes, and judging by the day I have had today and all the work that just got slammed onto me, it's not likely going to change. Sorry. Next.
Will's been going second recently. I blame him. I was just sitting peacefully waiting.
Oh, then you want to go second? Go.
Yeah, because you should go ahead.
Fine. See, I'm not used to this. I used to go third. I've been playing a lot this time, actually. Mm-hmm. Mostly retro games, because I've been down the beach with my older brother and his buddies. They love their N64, so we've been actually playing N64 Mario Kart, which you know my feelings on. Although I'm starting to get the hang of it because we played it so much. I'm enjoying it more now than I was originally. We played Mario Party 2 yesterday. There was a wild round of Mario Party. We were up till like 4 a.m. playing video games. It was glorious. But I think the highlight for me has actually been Dragon Ball Fighterz. My older brother's friend has Dragon Ball Fighterz on Switch. And unlike Mortal Kombat, even though the loading takes forever in this, it still looks and plays great. Like, I really am enjoying this. I'm going to pick it up for sure when I get back home to Charlotte, because this game's been an absolute blast. I thought it was going to be more complicated than it is. It's definitely like a high-paced, fast game, so I'm not close to where I'd like to be at it. But it's actually fairly simple to do some really cool stuff with it. So I think I'm gonna scoop this one up on Switch.
Yeah, like I played Dragon Ball Fighters on PS4, and yeah, I've played so many times with my brother. It's very simple to get into, no doubt about that. But like, if you want to like really do combo strings with, especially with Goku, of course, with the recent DLC packs now, it gets real crazy. I mean, there were some moments that I actually made my brother with that level 3 ultimate, which, yeah, once you pull that off, especially with like basic Goku, it's a really fun game. So
yeah, I like that level 3 combo. I love Teen Gohan. Teen Gohan's my favorite character, but I went pretty simple. I just did Super Saiyan Goku, Teen Gohan, and Super Saiyan Vegeta just as my team.
Yeah, and of course, yeah, they actually made Yamcha very fun as well. I mean, just briefly, Yamcha is a very fun character to play as. So yeah.
I remember being excited for Fighters when it came out on Switch, because we were all like, everyone was asking for it. And then I played the demo, and I don't know if it was just the demo the demo beta thing, like that just wore me down, or whatever, because I just had the hardest time playing it.
I mean, granted, the demo was rough. I'm not the greatest
fighting game expert, and I totally acknowledge that, but like, I was told, like, just like you guys just said, this is supposed to be easy, and I'm having like the hardest time figuring things out, and I'm like, how am I supposed to play this if I can't figure it out? You're supposed to be easy, dang it! And I was there during Budokai, and I loved those games, so... Oh, well.
Yeah, I don't know if I'd say, like, easy. I mean, like, the button inputs aren't complex. Like, I think, like, all your specials are just, like, semicircles on the joystick. So that's pretty easy to do. But, like, the pace of the game is really, really fast. So my problem is my buddy is decent at it, and he's just blitzing me with attacks, and I'm just, like, pretty much blocking the entire time and usually getting hit with mix-ups and all that, because he knows what he's doing. So maybe I'm sure it'll slow down once I learn more, but it seems as though the pace is so rapid that it can definitely be intimidating in that way.
Yeah, it's a very crazy game, like, once you get the hang of it, because again, like, it is made from Arc System Works as well, so it's really one of the top tier anime fighting games right there currently right now, aside from like Guilty Gear and stuff and the sorts. But overall, yeah, it's a very good game on PS4, and yeah, I'm glad to see that people enjoy it on the Switch as well. So yeah, definitely a very good game to get. Yes.
All right, Will, how about you?
I'm just also wondering, just quickly, Tyler, like, anything else that's from Dragon Ball Fighters you've been playing, or that's
it? I a ton of Mario Kart 8 Deluxe as well, and actually we just played a round of Invisigun. My brother's friend had that on his Switch. It's like this one's like a simple old school kind of game, but you're invisible walking around, and then you can, like, when you shoot, you'll appear. So it's like, it's almost like, it's very similar to Luigi's Mansion, actually, on Nintendo Land, where you're kind of like stealthily trying to maneuver around people. Okay. And like, if you walk into an obstacle, it'll glow so people will know where you are. I only played it for like 5 minutes before we got on the pod, but it seemed really fun. If you hear yelling, it's because they're playing it in the room next to me right now.
Gotcha.
But that's been it.
All right, cool. Yeah, nice. Okay, for me, like, it's been mostly pretty much generally the same thing for the most part. Naturally, on the weekends, I've been playing with Ring Fit Adventure, as I've been posting on Twitter. And yeah, just going through the levels, just being first time of four masters. Yeah, I'll just let you know right now. Again, Scott will kill you. Like, never skip leg day, because it will take out of you, especially those wide squats. And also, Tyler, like, if you ever go back to Ring Fit Adventure, I did send you some meters on the fit thing.
Oh, you're the best. So, yeah, I will. So, my Switch is still in for repair. Actually, I've been playing everything on my brother's.
When I get back,
I'll pick it up. I think it's repaired now, but
yeah. Gotcha. So yeah, just ahead of my dead sense, some ring meters on. Yeah. So yeah, been continuing on the Ring Fit, as well as continuing with 13 Sentinels Aegis Rim for the PS4. And I'm not sure if you've seen the dub trailer of it, but overall, just the cat, like, I'm only currently right now is only with the Japanese voicing right now, but if you've seen the English dub trailer of it, they have like a very all-star cast, including one of your favorites, Todd Veronica Taylor, in this game. So like, it's The best way I could describe this game, and again, one of our staff members is going to write the review, like, you know that gif from that conspiracy theory, like that one guy who plays, you know who I'm talking about, Todd, like one who plays God in Supernatural, Chuck?
Yeah.
I forgot his name. And yeah, this pretty much is that gif of the conspiracy. Like, okay, he goes there, he's over there, and everything is connected. Like, 13 Sentinels is pretty much is the embodiment of that gif. Like, you thought Odin's Sphere was intertwining story enough. This thing is like webs within webs of story. Like, intersects so much. It's like, it's crazy. That's the best way I can explain it. Like, the game is pretty much that gif personified. So, that again, if you like giant robots, a bit of tower defense, and a whole lot of visual novel style artwork from VanillaWare games, then yeah, this game is definitely up your alley. And I can only imagine how it is with the day one patch with like the entire all-star cast with Veronica Taylor, Erica Mendez. Yeah, just like such a great dubbing studio. I can't wait once it's finally released to the statesides. And yeah, 13 Sentinels is definitely a great game. Highly recommend it when it comes out. And of course, naturally, with Fire Emblem Heroes, I'm working up my arms. I'm currently right now sitting at 60 orb because I just recently pulled that legendary Corrin during the last few minutes, which it sucked my orb so hard. But until the next legendary banner, we'll just have to wait and see. So overall, it's been a decent week for me. So just been very good. Again, 13 Sentinels, highly recommend it.
There you go. All right, well, much to our surprise, there was a plethora of news of all kinds, not just the Mario kind. And it's going to be interesting to break it all down. So, it's time to go down the warp pipe. And first, in the grand tradition of Paper Mario the Origami King and Pikmin 3 Deluxe, Nintendo just straight up shadow dropped a reveal trailer for a new game coming this year. Because screw Nintendo Directs! And they revealed Hyrule Warriors Age of Calamity. Now, if you recall, Hyrule Warriors was first on the Nintendo Wii U, then the 3DS, and then back on the Switch in the Definitive Edition, because of course they did. But that game, the original Hyrule Warriors, was a completely separate story. It was an original story set in the land of Hyrule and beyond, and then they did basically pull a DC Comics and brought in the multiverse so we could play some of our favorite characters like Darunia and Rudo and Midna and Fee and all of them. And it was cool. And it was awesome. I liked it. It was fun times. Age of Calamity, though, is a much more inclusive story in regards to, it's a prequel, technically, to Breath of the Wild. It is set 100 years before the game actually starts, and you get to see the fall of Hyrule via Link, Zelda, and the four champions as you fight the forces of Calamity when everything starts to fall apart. So, first, A for creativity, all right, because like no one saw this coming, I guarantee you that. B, as many fans have pointed out, this is going to be the most depressing Zelda game in history.
I'm talking
more than Ocarina of Time when you jumped 7 years and you found out everything went to crap. I'm talking more than Twilight Princess when you find out like all the horrors that have been done to you and to Midna and even to Zelda and so on and so forth. No, you know this is going to be depressing because the ending can only go one way. Because it's a prequel. So it ends in the memory that we saw where Zelda puts Link in the temple to heal for 100 years, and she goes to hold off Calamity for that time. So, yeah, that's depressing.
Actually, yeah. You said nobody saw this coming. You have to shout out Game Explains' John Cartwright. He called this. He actually tweeted this out in 2018. He said they should do a Zelda Warriors game before as a prequel of Breath of the Wild, which was like just a hilariously cool prediction.
Yeah,
that is awesome. Yeah, I did not know. Okay, no one but him.
Yeah,
no one but him saw this coming. So there's always somebody, but everybody else.
So, yeah, like there's a lot of people even compared to like this is basically Zelda's Golden Country DLC in comparison to Xenoblade Xenoblade Chronicles 2, like the Golden Torna. It's just, yeah, just seeing the clips, and especially that first promo clip at the end, you know, you will witness the demise of the champions. I do not want to see the demise of Mipha. I don't need to cry again. It's like, I see your body getting shot in the gut. Like, yeah, it's just like, just what I need, more depressing fodder. Like, yeah, we already know that they die in the main game. Not to see actually witness their demise in this prequel Warriors game. Like, come on. Like,
yeah.
This is probably one of the first rare times I see, like, I would expect, well, not Nintendo, but from a Koei Tecmo to actually do something that's actually quite emotionally draining on this. Because, again, I don't need to see Mipha. I don't need to see my champions, the people I want that I know will die in front of me.
I'm just a little concerned about the canon here, because we're going to be cutting down, like, hordes of bokoblins. Meanwhile, in the actual game, like, on Master Mode, if they hit you one time, you're dead. Like, this is going to be a continuity nightmare.
Well, not just that. I mean, I know you're slightly joking there, but my problem is that, do we really need this? And when I say that, I'm not trying to be, like, mean or anything, but part of the point of Breath of the Wild was to find the 13 memories and figure out what happened in the past. And we got a pretty definitive picture of all that happened, from, you know, Zelda trying to figure out the Guardians and being criticized by her father, to, you know, her rough relationship with Link, to how the champions fit into everything. And then, of course, the fall, where Link almost dies defending Zelda, and then her powers magically awaken. And yet, in the trailer, Zelda has powers already. Like, you see her summon the Bow of Light, even though it's, like, that's really not her Triforce power. So it's just like, wait a minute, that's not what happened before. So they're, like, they're literally going to be stretching a story that, honestly, I don't feel needs to be stretched. Now, could we have more interactions with the champions? Yes, but as Will noted, that means we're going to see more of Link and Mipha together, and then we know that she dies!
It's like, yeah, we're going to that point, because you said that there are some powers, because again, the only thing we only see right now with Zelda was she using the Sheikah Slate, which the chrono, the time stop, the freeze
that
power.
Was cool though.
That was the only thing that was revealed. Of course, naturally, we see gameplay of the Perfect Dutch with Urbosa, and of course, like, using Robotti's archer skills. Like, we see those things for sure. And regarding to, like, the main game in context with the champions, I mean, a lot, the main criticism I hear from fans is because, like, one, like, while there was the memories did serve the purpose of, like, fleshing out the story of what happened, many complain, like, criticize that it wasn't enough. It's just the way they tells you. It doesn't actually show you. So, like, finally have, like, real-time battles with them, like, actually playing as them to actually get more fleshed out of that context of the main game. I think that's why people are so excited about it, because, again, we actually can play it instead of just, like, simple memory exposition just telling us. So that, I think that's one of the main factors why a lot of people are excited about this game, because, again, we can actually play as champions, actually see moments, because the presentation itself is, like, again, Eiji Aonuma says they are working with the team closely, Koei Tecmo, and, like, they really want to respect the source material. And with the original main game of the first Hyrule Warriors, they did a pretty decent job at it. So
I like the original. I mean, I actually praise its very unique storyline of the villain having a crush on Link. I'm like, that's unique, you know, because we all know Ganon doesn't like Link, so, you know, there's no relationship there. I'm going to kill you. That's the relationship.
I mean, also not to toot my horn, because I reviewed the original Hyrule Warriors back at Wii U back in 2014. So, yeah, it's just really kind of an interesting thing. I personally am very excited for this game, because, again, one, gives more context, of course, regarding to the whole story. Because, sure, it is a prequel. We know what's going to happen, which is very depressing. But, again, it's the journey. You might as well see before the whole Age of Calamity comes at you and just makes you sad to the point. But, like, finding out what the story is, seeing, like, more, like, Rising of the Champions, and, of course, Link and Zelda, and who knows? Like, a lot of people also speculating of Impa as well, because this is 100 years prior, so perhaps we're going to see young Impa or Maya.
Wasn't she the one doing the narration?
Right, because if you recall, like, yeah, even back in the main game, she was also doing a narration when we first meet her in Breath of the Wild. So I think we probably will meet young Impa, which that's exciting. And just, it's just a lot more of this world with that it can be more context with. I feel like, yeah, giving power to Koei Tecmo, which is a third-party studio with the Zelda license. Like, again, a lot of people were very skeptical we're going to Harvard World originally. And they did it pretty well, at least in my opinion. So to have them continue on with the story and actually work with Eiji Aonuma on this game, it's very exciting. It's very exciting for me.
Yeah, and for all the haters out there who said, like, nobody wants to buy this game, first of all, shut up. Second of all, Hyrule Warriors on the Wii U sold over 1 million units, all right? That's why they eventually ported it to the 3DS and then the Switch with extra content and characters is because a lot of people bought it. And then Fire Emblem Warriors came out on Switch, and we're pretty sure that sold over 1 million as well. So they've already got, you know, 2 million sellers under their belts with these Nintendo Warriors titles. So, yeah, people are going to want to get this.
Yeah, this is going to sell really well. I think any excuse to go back to the Breath of the Wild world is going to be cool, and to explore these settings in an entirely new way, honestly, in a way that's quite the opposite of how we first explored them in Breath of the Wild itself, is going to be really exciting. I'm just imagining the ending of the game and how epic it is going to be just Zelda, like, storming the castle to face Calamity Ganon. Like, that's going to be so cool to actually see Zelda, like, alone facing hordes of enemies with, I mean, she's not a physical fighter, so I'm sure they're going to have a cool moveset for her. We'll get to see her use her creative mind to figure out how to bash all these enemies in. I think that's going to be an incredibly epic moment if they execute it correctly. And I'm just excited to be able to play as the champions. It's something that I kind of wanted to do in the first game. So having these characters all kind of come back and get more fleshed out, because the champions were not as fun as they were. They weren't overly fleshed out characters. We understood who they were a little bit, but this should give us an even better look. Unfortunately, it's a Warriors game.
Yeah,
like, Warriors games, we know what we're getting into. It's going to be really shallow from a gameplay standpoint. I played the heck out of Fire Emblem Warriors. It was a guilty pleasure, for sure, and I expect this to kind of be more of the same in that way. The idea is just fantastic, though. I think going back and seeing the Calamity from this perspective is going to be just a treat. So from that perspective, I'm very excited. I'm going to get this for sure. Yeah, I wish it wasn't their holiday game.
No,
I wish it wasn't their big holiday game. But
as far as we know,
yeah,
because I mean, they could still do the surprise December, but like right at this point, we can't even hope for that. I mean,
no.
After everything. But yeah, I'm going to get it just because at that point in time, I'm not going to have played a Nintendo title for a while, so might as well get something that is at least fresh enough. So
And I just want to give, if Koei Tecmo and Nintendo is listening to this podcast right now, can you please bring over a physical collector's edition? Because the first one of Wii U, that Hylian scarf, that thing is a collector's item. Please, if you release a collector's item for this game, I will buy it in a heartbeat. So please, release another collector's edition. Like something about Hylian scarf, or even better, another Sheikah Slate replica? I don't know. Just bring a collector's edition here, Koei Tecmo. Okay, that's my rant.
Yeah. All right, and then, of course, the question is, well, wait a minute, if they're releasing this game, where's Breath of the Wild 2? Well, Eiji Aonuma did speak on this. He said that the team is still working very hard to deliver a fresh experience to the Breath of the Wild world that you now love. So it's going to be a little while longer before you can get a true update, which honestly is fair. We have said multiple times this podcast that when it comes to Breath of the Wild, we knew that it was going to take a while. So, and obviously the pandemic didn't help. So, yeah, it sucks that we won't hear about it for at least a little while longer, but we know it's still in development.
He said something really interesting there that you actually just repeated, too. He said, in order to make the Breath of the Wild world that you know and love, or something like that, even more fun to explore. That seemed like a big hint, right? Like, almost a little disappointing. It makes me think that we're going to be exploring the same Hyrule. At least in some capacity. I could be reading into that too much, but when I heard that, my ears perked up.
No, well, think about it. We know it's a direct sequel.
Yeah.
So you're in the same land.
But so is Majora's Mask, and it was a totally different land.
Wait, what?
Majora's Mask was a direct sequel.
But they're literally saying it's Breath of the Wild 2, and that we, in the teaser clip, we're just underground, and we see some of Hyrule like get shaken by an earthquake.
Yeah. Yeah.
So what I'm thinking is that whatever that event is, it causes a ripple effect across all of Hyrule, which makes it the same place but different. You know?
No, so that's true. Just because
that's
a
how
sequel.
That's how I interpreted it.
Okay. Yeah. So. Yeah. I interpreted it that way too, but I was hoping we'd get an entirely new landscape, a la, you know, many other games with sequels.
Which we still could.
We
don't know. I mean, we only have literally one teaser to go off of, and that's not a lot.
No.
So, mm-mm. But yeah, so it is still coming. Stop being that way, and, you know, I know it's hard, especially with how 2020 is, and we're going to talk about that later. But we just got to hold on a little bit, okay? So, moving on to another calamity, the Mario shoes issue. So, last week when we talked about the 35th anniversary direct reveal of everything, they noted that Puma was going to be releasing a special Mario-themed shoe. And I noted I wanted it because it was going to be my Air Jordans. By the time I looked at it the next day, like, all the shoe sizes I could have reasonably gotten were gone. Like, the closest thing to me was a size 15, and I ain't going to get a size 15 Air Jordan when I'm size 13. Okay, so I was like, darn it, I'm not going to get it. And then they revealed that they're going to be doing another set of variants, one for Super Mario Sunshine and one for Super Mario Galaxy. So those aren't out yet, but they are coming. And if there's any justice, the original Mario sneakers from Puma are going to be re-releasing so that people like me can get it. And I won't lie, when I first saw the price of $125 for those shoes, I'm like, do I really need it? And then I saw they were sold out. I'm like, yes, I need it! Where is it?
All right, SpongeBob, don't go, I need it! Don't go SpongeBob on us.
I need it!
But granted, that's the power of these collectibles. I mean, if the Game & Watch and, of course, these sneakers. Because, again, this is the 35th anniversary items. So these things are obviously going to be collector's items. Plus, like, with any sneakerheads or Jordans or any of that sort, these things are going to be hot. So the moment those links went up on sites, yeah, those people will snatch them up quickly. Because, like, you can already imagine how it is we're going to, like, mark prices after, like, the 35th anniversary ends. Because, like, I easily can imagine, like, probably go up to, like, I don't know, easily up to $500 in my opinion. Because, again, Mario. So, and again, if anyone
and their
back
sweet
the
day, shoes.
They are sweet shoes indeed.
So, like, if you bought, like, the original Breath of the Wild special edition right now, that's a check on eBay prices. Like, they're currently, like, $500 on eBay for Breath of the Wild Limited. So, yeah. Again, it's Mario. It's limited editions. It's only for a little bit of time, so people are going to collect them. So, yeah. If you want to make some money or just wear them, yeah, definitely invest while you can. Get a jump on it.
Yeah, I loved those red ones, but I did the same thing as you, Tyler. I saw the price, and I thought maybe later, and now it looks like there may not be a later. but when I looked at, I loved both the Sunshine and the Galaxy shoes. I could see the Sunshine shoes. If I'm, like, playing tennis at the beach, I got a white shirt on, maybe some white shorts, I'm wearing those Sunshine shoes, because they have the shine sprites on the back. They're great. Love them. The Mario Galaxy shoes, on the other hand, I am buying. I don't care if they're $200. I don't want to give them any ideas, but I don't care if they're $200. I am buying those. Those are so sick. I love, like, the Cosmo, like, the purple kind of, like, Cosmos. I think that's the word I'm trying to use. Like, space dust on it. That's more what I'm trying to use. And the grand stars on the heels. They looked so sick. I'm getting those. Like, as soon as they drop, I'm getting those.
Yeah, the Galaxy designs, I'm personally very partial to black and blue, so yeah, looking at that, like, that dark scheme, it really is very sleek, if anything else, because, again, Galaxy is one of the best games. But, of course, there's always the appeal of the natural Mario red, of course, so yeah, it's just, like, very, it's naturally up to your taste, naturally.
So, yeah, but we will keep you informed whether we are able to get them or not, or if we know, when the new variants are gonna come out, so just stay tuned. But needless to say, if I do find the originals, I will be buying them, no doubt. So Here's hoping. I want my Air Jordans. All right, next up we have more, I don't know if you want to call it proof, but a detailed information about the upcoming potential Nintendo Switch Pro or whatever you want to call it. So Bloomberg has been very much chronicling Nintendo recently for reasons known only to Bloomberg, and they revealed that they were going to be increasing their Switch production, which makes perfect sense because, again, they were having problems due to the pandemic, and then they weren't able to fulfill demand, and yet they were still selling like hotcakes. And so they are increasing it so that within the next fiscal year, they're going to be making about 30 million Switches, which is obviously really high expectations, but given the Switch's popularity, even during the pandemic, understandable. However, the Bloomberg then reported that some unconfirmed sources, or like unrevealed sources or whatever, said that Nintendo told certain third-party developers to make sure their games were 4K ready for the Switch. And that can't happen on the current Switch because it's not 4K compatible. So, that would seem to indicate a previous rumor about the Nintendo Switch Pro that it will be a 4K machine. And thus, next year we will be getting a 4K Nintendo Switch. Potentially, hopefully, possibly.
My first thought is I have an issue, and that is with you using a banned word. I put this out online. Selling like hotcakes is hereby banned from the vernacular. Done. We're
Why?
Not saying it because it's so overused, and it's just like, do pancakes really sell that much? Or hotcakes?
Not pancakes, hotcakes.
Yeah, they're the same thing. Do they really sell that much? It's just, it's such, it's
so overdone. Have you never been to IHOP?
It's so overdone. I'm okay. Sick of selling like hotcakes.
Fine.
It's gone. We've thrown it out. Nobody's ever using it again.
Fine. Revise. It is selling like crazy. It is selling out the wazoo.
Yeah,
it is,
okay.
It is selling so fast people can't keep up. It is selling so much that Tyler had to strike a popular vernacular to make it sound even more impressive. Are you content? Or
yes.
Are you not entertained?
That was much better. Good, good.
That's why I'm the host. All right, but thoughts on this? Because, again, Bloomberg had a report early, I think like a few weeks ago, stating that a 4K Switch was possible, but now they're saying that Nintendo is telling the third-party developers, make sure it's 4K ready. So thoughts on this. Tyler, start with you.
Yeah, this is pretty interesting and exciting, I think. I believe Nintendo's going to need to release at least a console that can upscale to 4K, especially in the light of the Xbox Series S news. That console was just unveiled at $299, the same price point as the current Nintendo Switch, and it can upscale. I think it can go up to 4K. So Nintendo's got a new challenger in the market at this point, and Xbox, they've done a lot of fantastic things with in this past week or so. I know we're a Nintendo podcast, so I don't want to get too far into it, but they're basically coming at Nintendo at this lower entry point. And I think that Nintendo's going to need to compete with a product that's similar in price, but with the hybrid, I'd be willing to pay a little bit more as well. But I think that 4K is going to be really important, especially for third-party developers. We know the struggles Switch has had with third parties. It's for myriad reasons, I think that the 4K, while not necessarily critical to me, is going to be a big deal. I think people really want that. And when you have somebody kind of coming into your price range offering it, you kind of look bad not.
Yeah, I'm pretty much in the same boat because, as we discussed the product before, this pretty much is the next logical step for Nintendo. And as with the recent news of the Xbox S, it is like at the same price as the Switch. So yeah, they pretty much have another contender they have to compete with now with the Xbox Series S. Again, it's not the X; it's the smaller version of the Series X. Which, yeah, and also just a clarification as well, the Xbox Series S, the smaller model, is only a digital only. So that's kind of the only thing that's working for Nintendo, because like that model is only digital. So they have to also invest in an external hard drive. So that's probably the major deciding factor, in my opinion. And regarding to this report of Nintendo telling developers to develop these games for 4K now, for possible Nintendo titles in the future, like, It's definitely going to be interesting to see because, again, it's the next logical step for possible power. And of course, if they're going to have to compete with Xbox Series X at five, that's like check, yeah, like $500 for the main model. And of course, whenever we get to hear of PS5's price tag, it's like, yeah, they're going to be dominating the winter season. No doubt about that. But if they're going to be like upgrading the model sometime in the rumored title of like, in the anniversary of the Switch, I believe in March or so, then yeah, they could pretty much have that period all to themselves. So if they're gonna make something for the 4K Switch, then yeah, I think that's probably the next logical step. And again, it's while resolution is not really that important as well for Nintendo games, again, it always helps. It always helps, and plus gives that developers more that flexibility that they needed. So again, the next logical step for Nintendo.
Yeah, my only concern is that we don't mention this a few weeks ago during the original report. Are we going to have a new Nintendo 3DS situation where oh, these games are available for Switch but only for the new version if, you know, the four if they do have 4K. And that if that I don't I hope they don't do that, but if they do, that's alienating the let's just be generous, 70 million people that just have a regular Switch. And now you're saying like, "Oh, some of these great games including super third-party titles are, you know, gonna be only available in 4K on this version of the Switch." That's limiting. And I don't. I again, these are just reports, and Bloomberg has been wrong in the past, but I don't like the idea of two different systems with this much of a difference. Like when Xbox had their infinite number of Xbox Ones, the only real difference was, you know, a slight graphical improvement, which you didn't need. Or, you know, being all digital or something, or, you know, less memory. You know, that those are small modicum improvements or deficiencies. It didn't affect, you know, you could play this game on this one and this game on this one. You never had that. But with Nintendo, if they do that here with the Switch, that's going to alienate a lot of people, me included.
Well, that's a good
Yeah.
point, but I think that's why they want it to be. I think they want things to be upscalable. And I wouldn't be, you know, I'm not a developer, so I don't know exactly how all this stuff works. I don't know if, I don't think they think, I know there's a difference between 4K native and upscaling to 4K. So I think they're trying to mitigate that by saying, we want, you should make this so this is an option, but also make it so it can, you know, downgrade for the regular consoles. I don't know how it works 100%, but I agree with you. If they isolate, like, they will risk isolating original Switch owners. If they don't address that problem. But I think that's what that's my interpretation of this is that they want it to be able to go up to this level, but also be able to go down to the normal level.
And if that is how it goes, I'm totally fine with that, because that would facilitate those who want a better graphical package or are fine with playing it on the regular Switch like I am. So, and I don't fully get 4K either. I honestly don't. I'm not a technology guy, so we'll just see how it goes. But it seems more and more likely that 2021 is not only going to be a big light a lineup for titles, but potentially the debut of the long rumored Nintendo Switch Pro or whatever you want to call it. So, moving on to something that Tyler actually noted, I think it was like last week or so, that Nintendo doesn't really have a lot of good third-party support. And I kind of disagree with that because of certain titles and ports that came. And then, sure enough, CD Projekt Red confirmed that Cyberpunk 2077 is coming to Switch. I kid. I wish. I really do. But no, they revealed that The Witcher 3 has done exceptionally well on the Switch and has exceeded all expectations of sales. The last time we checked, it was like 700,000 sold by the end of 2019. So I wouldn't be surprised if they're over 1 million right now, because The Witcher 3 is obviously a really impressive title, even on the Switch. So maybe they'll try and bring some other stuff over. They've thought about Cyberpunk, they honestly did, but they knew that the graphical restrictions would be too great, and I don't blame them for that. So.
As much as I would like to have Keanu Reeves on the Nintendo Switch, it's
Ah.
definitely a tall order if anything else.
Yanu.
And yeah, I'm just really glad that CD Projekt's Witcher series has been doing well on all platforms. And yeah, just to see it do well on the Nintendo Switch again only proves that it can do ports well. And for a title like Witcher 3, yeah, I can only imagine what else they can probably do with the technology. It should they focus their efforts on the system itself. So I can only imagine what CD Projekt can do with it.
Yeah, I definitely wanted to get this game. It's still on my to-buy list. I'm going to get it at some point. But yeah, I when I say they don't have good third-party support, I mean they do miss out on a lot of games. It's not that they have none. This was a really big get, too. I mean, there was a lot of excitement about how this performed. It was a really good port. A lot of the ports the Switch get are kind of just like lazily thrown together. They don't really work that well, and it's just, why'd you even bother? You're just trying to cash in on the market without putting in the effort. This wasn't the case. This game definitely deserves every sale that it got. It seemed to be a technical marvel from some of the Digital Foundry stuff that I saw. So yeah, no, good for them though, and it definitely I'd like to see more projects like that. I'm still kind of crossing my fingers that a Fallout 3 and New Vegas and 4 collection lands on Switch one day, even if it's just 3 and New Vegas.
Yeah, right.
Like that type of game is a blast, especially on the go.
All right, and then now to a story that makes me very happy, which I need. Pokemon Journeys is indeed coming out tomorrow or today, depending on when you're listening to the podcast, or yesterday or sometime in the recent past. It will be releasing on the 11th, and there will be a new set of episodes on Netflix that I will be happily watching over the course of the next 4 weeks or so I can slowly enjoy my Pokemon journey like it's supposed to happen. And but no, I'm very excited for this. I really liked Journeys Part 1, and so now that Journeys Part 2 is out and the anime is continuing on in Japan because it had to stop because of the pandemic, I'm really looking forward to this. So for all of you who've been waiting oh so patiently for Journeys to arrive, here it is again. And also, I almost missed this, it has been 22 years since the original Pokemon anime debuted in America.
Mm-hmm.
And the one and only Veronica Taylor, who you might remember as the original Ash, and of course Manuela from Fire Emblem Three Houses, thanks the entire Pokemon community for all the love that's shown the series over the years. And then we want to say thank you, Veronica Taylor, for helping making our Pokemon experiences so special for all those years. You are still the original Ash to us, and we are grateful for you being Manuela as well. So, seriously, I need Pokemon Journeys because this weekend is going to be so busy for me, it's not even funny. And I need something to, you know, keep me going, and it's going to be Pokemon. So, yeah. All right, next up to a story that honestly depresses me, I'm not going to lie. Kingdom Hearts 3. So, we've noted on the podcast many times that we felt that Kingdom Hearts 3 should have come to the Switch. And because Nintendo has done so much for the Kingdom Hearts franchise over the years, including keeping it going while you were waiting for 2 and for 3. And yet we didn't get it. But oh, we're going to get the Melody of Memory or whatever that thing is. And like everyone's wondering why. So Tetsuya Nomura stated in an interview that Square Enix honestly did try and bring it to the Switch, which is good. But they said that the technical restrictions, not unlike a certain CD Projekt Red, was too great, and thus they couldn't bring it over. So, A, bullcrap. B, I don't care about your technical restrictions. Give me Kingdom Hearts 3. I don't care that I now know the ending and it's utter crap and a complete waste of the entire journey that I've had over these 20 plus years, basically. But I still want to play it. I deserve to play this game. And I'm not going to buy a PS4 or Xbox. What is wrong with you? So, now the other thing, and I'm not sure what to make of this, Tetsuya said at the end of the interview that another game that he's making could come to Switch. And he wasn't talking about Melody of Memory, because that game had already been announced. So, what could he be working on? I don't know.
It's definitely something. I mean, if anything else, Square Enix and Switch don't normally really get mixed well, especially with the recent release of Crystal Chronicles, which unfortunately the director for that game has apologized for the online problems during release and which they are currently working on right now. So going back to Kingdom Hearts 3, Tetsuya Nomura has always been the maverick, and you never know what's going on in his head. So we're going to, not bringing Kingdom Hearts 3 to Switch, the opportunity is right there, but they decide not to take it. And of course, you can do good port jobs of it. It's just like, heck, I do not mind if you had to go downgrade. I definitely do not mind. And of course, naturally, with the whole final mix Remind DLC that's quote-unquote the true ending. I mean, there is the basic ending, there's the DLC ending, which you have to survive your Zora, which a lot of people, if you do it on critical mode, it's, like, really tough. It's just, like, yeah, I don't blame you, Todd, because, like, even with the basic ending and, of course, with the your Zora ending of the DLC, it's just, like, yeah, it's... There's just so much unasked questions and anything else. Again, it's Kingdom Hearts. It's always been crazy. And regarding to that bit of, like, making a game for specifically for possibly for the Nintendo Switch, yeah, that's not really saying much. It's like, oh, okay, we have Melody of Memory. Melody of Memory, thank you. I mean, okay, fine. It fills in some of the gaps, especially finally putting Kyrie as the main focus of it. Okay, that's great. Fine. That's good for all Kingdom Hearts fans. But, like, if you're making something particularly, just possibly, quote-unquote, for the Nintendo Switch, yeah, your words not really doesn't help much weight. Because, like, I still remember that part of that of your interview, the more that you said, like, oh, I thought people would be more excited for the World of Frozen. Of course we're not excited for Frozen. We want to hear more of the story, not Frozen. Come on, Nomura. Are you really that much of a boomer? No offense.
Let it go, Will. Let it go. Yeah. Now, look, I mean, we've ragged a lot on Square Enix because they didn't bring Kingdom Hearts 3 to Switch, but I'm gonna say it like this, all right? The Switch to us is special, all right? And Kingdom Hearts is special. You could honestly say it's like a sanctuary. And if they were to make this port, I can't define how simple and clean this would make me feel tonight. So, yeah. I wondered if you were going to catch on. So, yeah.
The way you said sanctuary, let me know something was up.
What, did you miss that the first time? Wow, Will, this is why you're not the host. You're not paying attention to the beats I'm dropping, man.
Damn it all, enough with the Kingdom Hearts puns already.
I know it's hard for you to recall in this chain of memories, so, you know, that's...
Oh, please, don't think twice on that, please.
Alright, anyway, but hopefully we'll get something good from Square Enix soon, including maybe Octopath Traveler 2, or where the heck is Bravely Default 2?
Yeah, just some news on it would be great. Yeah. Right. Maybe voice actor change news.
Yeah, yes. Yes. All right. Now, from news that made me sad to news that made Will sad, even if he's not going to admit it. Will, take it away.
So, yeah, this is actually the time it happened last night. But unfortunately, COVID has claimed another victim in regards to game development. And this time it is my favorite series of No More Heroes. So last night in a tweet from Grasshopper Manufacturers and Suda51 himself, unfortunately, the game is now has been delayed to the window of 2021, which, again, not surprising due to the world of COVID-19, but it still stings because, again, I want to play No More Heroes 3, especially with that brief, quote-unquote, game trailer that Suda51 was in front of. I mean, curse you, Suda51, but I'll take what I can get. And, again, it's very unfortunate that this game is delayed, but, again, COVID-19, delays, it cannot be helped. However, the one, like, smidgen of good news that he also announced in that same tweet is he also acquired the artist, Derek Robertson, I believe that was his name, mostly known for doing the art for Boys, which is currently been trending these past few days. It is also has been acquired to provide art for the game. So on the same tweet, he also provided a nice, very sleek looking art picture of Travis Touchdown and his new bike, which, again, very Akira style like. And yeah, it's very sleek. So while, again, it is delayed currently to 2021, at least we got a new artist from the Boys, and now it's going to be continuing working with this team. So overall, I am sad, but again, with Nintendo games, always delay it, if anything else, because, again, we don't want rush games. And even the voice actor for Travis Touchdown says, like, I know a lot of gamers don't have much patience. At least that's what Bishop, the guy at the video store, said. And it's just kind of strange because, again, even in that trailer, like, 2020 release, good luck. Unfortunately, they called themselves out on that. And, yeah, now 2020 is no longer a viable option.
Sadly. When you said COVID-19 has claimed another victim in the video game world, I thought somebody died. I have the notes right in front of me. I was like, wait, who died? But fortunately, nobody did.
Note to self, Tyler's mind goes right to the gutter.
Again, as a claim of a victim in game development.
I was just like, what great game developer went down to COVID? That's so sad.
But yeah, overall, it's just like, again, COVID-19 really stinks, just how it's just affecting game design. I mean, again, it's bad enough it's affecting Nintendo, and of course, with Daddy Sakurai's next development of the next DLC characters when we get to hear it, and now we hear, like, No More Heroes 3 being delayed. It's just like, yeah, COVID-19 sucks. It just sucks. So
2020 totally sucks.
Yeah, so, again, No More Heroes fans, please bear up bit right now until 2021, and hopefully we get to see more news once it gets ready of, like, I don't know, the combat or even the storyline. Like, hey, show me Sylvia Crystal and I'll be very happy. And I don't know if there is some note of, I don't know, Pipe Dream, Travis Touchdown cuts into Smash Brothers, I'll be very happy as well. So please, Sakurai, Sudafi1 and Daddy Sakurai, if you're listening to this podcast or if you're collaborating somewhere in the darkest regions of Japan right now, please reveal something in the VGA Awards. I would love you so much. Thank you. Okay, that's my rant.
Yeah, clearly. All right, so from news that depressed us to news that it fills many with joy, a surprise announcement was made today that Scott Pilgrim versus the World, the video game, is coming back. And it's coming back in a complete edition with all the DLC. And slightly upgraded graphics, but it is still the same Scott Pilgrim vs. the World game that you loved, that, you know, embodies what the series is all about. And it's coming out this holiday season, including to the Switch. So,
I'm very happy that this game is finally coming. After, like, literally when it was, like, taken off back on the original PS3 days, like, everyone's clamoring for it. Like, when are you going to release Scott Pilgrim? Like, release the Scott Pilgrim license again. And, like, after 6 years of begging, it finally comes back. Even, like, the creator of the game, like, yeah, like, yes, we finally did this. Now get out of my house! Like, stop asking for it. And, of course, like, the soundtrack is just... it's just bomb. It's just like from Anna Makuchi. I still remember actually playing the game back during my college days. It's just like, it is very memorable. Like, if you want like a very solid beat 'em up with the Scott Pilgrim, it's just like, it's pretty much video game fan service right there. So, like, highly recommend it if you get a chance to get it this coming holiday season. The only thing I'm just wondering is, like, will keep the local co-op, or are they going to do a whole online multiplayer? Because, again, sadly enough, Nintendo's online is not good, but I would not mind actually, like, get this game and actually play with you guys on one weekend or some other time. Because, again, Scott Pilgrim is definitely one of those fun beat 'em up brawlers that I highly recommend it, even after all these years.
So, and for all of you heathens out there who don't know what Scott Pilgrim versus the World is, here's a very, very, very loose storyline for you. There is a guy named Scott Pilgrim. That should be obvious. All right. There is a world out. I'm just joking. So Scott Pilgrim falls in love with a girl named Ramona Flowers. All right. Very simple story, right? Wrong. Ramona has 7 evil exes, and the only way they could truly be together is for Scott to go and beat all of the evil exes. And it gets uber crazy, just like you hoped it would be. So.
Yeah, and it's like a lot of tributes to video game history, from Mario to Street Fighter. It's just video game fan service.
Yeah. So look for that. We do not have an exact release date, but it's coming out this holiday season for all the systems, including the Switch. So definitely stay tuned for that, especially if you did not get to play the original when it came out about 10 years ago. So, all right. To our main event now. 2020. It sucks. Okay. Very, very few things have gone right this year. And yes, I'm including, like, the good things like Animal Crossing and Xenoblade and the hope that things will actually get back to normal, which is dying slowly. Oh, and football's back tonight, so that was something. But overall, 2020 has sucked. And it would be during this time that Nintendo could rise and show the world that we can get through this together. And we thought we had that with Animal Crossing, and we thought we had that with Xenoblade, and then after those two games, nothing. Alright, I know Tyler liked Paper Mario, that's fine, but like, nothing significant after that. I mean, now we got Pikmin, and now we got Age of Calamity, which should be fine, but still, Nintendo has stumbled its way through 2020, which is not something we thought would happen last year when we were eagerly waiting for everything 2020 would throw at us. So we are going to look back and just talk about all the things that Nintendo slipped up on, missed cues, missed directs, and everything, because it's time to discuss things Nintendo got wrong. All right, and I'll start off this party by I know what Tyler's probably going to talk about, so I'm not going to talk about that. But my biggest thing, by far, is when they did announce certain things, it seemed like it was more ports than anything. And I know that sounds weird because like we just had the Age of Calamity announcement, we just had Paper Mario release a little while back, and we had New Horizons and whatever. But if you really look at all the releases that happened this year, there were so many ports, and not even of all, good games, all right? So for, we had Tokyo Mirage Sessions FE Sharp Encore. Yeah, okay, that was January. They were just trying to fill the time slot. That's fine. Then New Horizons came out, and it was awesome. Then there was Xenoblade, which was a port, but a modern port, and a very upgraded port with epilogue content, so that was a pass. Because we wanted to see these awesome visuals on this awesome story. So that was fine. But then we got the Mario 3D All-Stars, which we all knew was coming, but still. And then we have, of course, Pikmin 3 Deluxe, which just feels oh so random when we've been told forever that Pikmin 4 is done, just not released for one reason or another. And then I specifically recall so many ports being released of third-party titles, Saints Row 3 and 4. Those got on the Switch this year. Or, no, 3 was last year, 4 was this year. And then they had the remastered version, which didn't even make it to Switch, so thanks a lot, Volition. And there were, I just swear I kept hearing ports. And I'm like, I get it. This was a big thing when the Switch came out because they were trying to gather, the Wii U sales that they never got. And that's fine to an extent. But eventually, we're going to be tired of the freaking ports. Alright? And sadly, we know the ports are still coming because we know that a Super Mario 3D Land and Bowser's Fury is coming out, wait for it, next year. We're getting an upgraded port of Shin Megami Tensei 3 Nocturne, which is fine, I suppose, for the Shin Megami fans. But and then I'm afraid that there's going to be even more ports coming out. And I'm like, when is it? And I know I'm missing a few. But where does it stop? All right? Because, I get it. Again, yes, these ports have sold. Tropical Freeze sold incredibly well. Obviously, Xenoblade sold incredibly well. And you know that Mario 3D All-Stars is going to get at least a million, if not two or three, just because people want to bank on nostalgia. And that's fine. To an extent, because remember, if you look at 2017, which was, of course, the year of the Switch release, and then a whole bunch of ports came out, they had a lot of ports that year, all right? They had, of course, Mario 8 Deluxe, which is the best-selling game on Switch. They had Pokemon Tournament DX. They had, I'm missing one. It doesn't matter. But the point is, those ports were balanced out by games like ARMS and Splatoon 2, and, of course, Breath of the Wild, Odyssey, Warriors, Xenoblade Chronicles 2.
Smash Brothers.
No, that was next year. That was 18. It was Xenoblade and then Smash Brothers. So it was that balanced it out. It balanced it out because it's okay, we have the ports that they're trying to cash in on, but there's all these new games to say, hey, this isn't just a port machine. And yet this year especially, in both first and third, I felt that port machine vibe again. And I'm like, we're into year four of the Switch. If you want to do an occasional port, yeah, sure, whatever. Like the Mario things, I more or less am okay without. Because one is like a bundling of nostalgia for $60, that's totally fine. But the Bowser's Fury one, did we really need that? Do we really need that over, say, a new 2D Mario game? Or, oh my gosh, an actual Mario RPG? If they're allowed to do that, glares.
As a Mario 3D World truther, I am happy that that game is getting another shot on a console that people play with the Bowser's Fury expansion. But you're definitely right. The more I thought about it, a 2D Mario game feels like it should have been announced in that Mario Direct.
And even if I wanted to include this port, why not just put the port this year? Because, I mean, is it really taking you that long? Because, I mean, this is the year of Mario. This is their 35th anniversary. And you're doing the bundle, which comes out later this month, like 10 days from now or something like that?
Next so week, why... actually. 9/18, next week.
No, there you go. So why isn't, like, coming out, I don't know, like October or December? You know, because we don't have a December title, and I'm not expecting one. And if it is, I wouldn't be surprised if it's a port. And that's horrifying when we're expecting more ports than we are of original titles. Because, again, what original titles have released this year? New Horizons
and Paper Mario Origami King. Yeah.
And then technically Age of Calamity, which is 3. So, but where are the ports? We have FE Encore, Xenoblade, the 3D All-Stars, that's 3. Pikmin Deluxe, that's 4. And I'm sure I've missed a big one. So, like 4 to 5, and we could still get more. And that's horrifying. That we're more worried, more focused on the ports in 2020 than anything else. And again, we get it. COVID hurt. There's no doubt it hurt. But can't tell me that all the things that Nintendo's working on, only the ports are done now. Especially when I have a feeling that some of these haven't been worked on for that long.
You asked where does it stop, and I'll tell you where it stops. It stops when Game & Wario gets ported over to Switch. That's your big holiday 2021 game, Game & Wario.
Game & Wario or Game & Mario?
Game & Wario.
Wario.
Was that a real thing?
Yeah, the Wii U Classic.
Yes, yes.
I don't remember that, honestly.
Huh. I mean, again, the Wario games have been so very good, and like, if they decide to port that game to the Switch, then yeah, like, the Wario games definitely sell like hotcakes. So yeah,
let me ask you guys this.
Okay.
I looked up a list of games that have not been ported from the Wii U. Tell me if you're interested in getting them on Switch. Okay. Project Zero, Maiden of Black Water.
No.
I've never heard of that in my life. About you, Will?
You said, is it Project Blackwater?
It's Project Zero, Maiden of Blackwater.
Doesn't ring a bell. I mean,
I'm just gonna put you down for no then.
Yeah, I'm definitely a no for that one.
How about Wind Waker HD and Twilight Princess HD?
No.
I wouldn't mind.
I agree. I kind of want those. Xenoblade Chronicles X.
Yes,
of course I want that.
That one deserves a port.
One
deserves it.
I totally agree. Yeah. Paper Mario Color Splash.
No,
no,
no. Here as well, absolutely not. Star Fox Zero.
No.
I kind of want that to do it with a chance.
No, yes. Don't. I make a new Star Fox game and actually make it. What's the word? Good.
I agree with Todd. I'm a no on that one. Yoshi's Woolly World.
Well, I mean, technically they had a port of that already on the 3DS, remember?
Yes, yes.
So, I mean, just go full... And wait, we had Crafted World, so
yeah,
that was already a straight sequel, yeah. So why port the original? We already had the sequel.
Definite no. Kirby and the Rainbow Curse.
I mean, you could, but,
that could be decent,
you know,
touch controls.
It feels superfluous.
Yeah, I agree. That's a no for me. Nintendo Land.
Would that even work?
Kind of would work, right?
Yeah, I don't know if that would work.
Yeah.
I mean, they could find a way, I'm sure, but I mean, they did the wonderful 101 port on Switch, so clearly they can make it work.
Yeah. You're right, though. I think that probably would be weird. Game & Wario, that's a definite no. How about Wii Fit U? That's a Wii U exclusive still.
No.
Because now it's kind of been dethroned by Ring Fit currently right now.
Yeah.
And besides, we don't need the Wii U the Wii Balance Board anymore. I think that's kind of been obsolete now. So
fitness unless they games peaked to, like, on the Wii U. Everybody says
unless they decide to have like a DLC pack with the trainer of Wii Fit, then yeah, Ring Fit kind of has dominated that market currently right now.
Yeah. And how about Art Academy Atelier?
Oh, stop.
That's the last one.
Just stop.
Game. I mean,
yeah. So, you know what? I will say, though, I don't need the Zelda games. If they came out, though, I think I'd be suckered into buying them again. Xenoblade I would like for sure, but the others we're not really interested in. Maybe Kirby's we thought was interesting. So yeah, that's where it stops, though. I mean, well, they're pretty much out of ports at this point.
And thank goodness, but like think about that. That means like we've had how many ports?
It's insane. No, you're right. You're totally right. It's insane how many ports we've had this year, especially. I completely agree with you.
Mm-mm.
So, and again, that's just like I was only counting really the first party ports when I know there were fourth party. Yes, there were fourth world ports, which I know some of you DC Comics fans are excited about. But no, like the third parties were just as bad. Like they were, it seemed like everything was getting ported to the Switch just because. Like, and don't get me wrong, I loved replaying Saints Row 4. Then I went and bought Saints Row 3 again just so I could have fun on the game that I helped make. You're welcome. Look me up. I'm in the credits. But, like, I was never going to get every port. And the fact that, you know, more ports just keep get announced, and some of them are very, very old. Now, it's different when it's something like Scott Pilgrim, because that's, like, 10 years old.
Right,
and was
right, right,
and
right.
I don't think it was even on a Nintendo system originally.
Nope.
See? So that's special. Versus this, where it's just like, really? Ugh.
Right. So it's like, when you're talking about games like roughly 3 years old, like, or at least like one generation behind, like, that's when, I agree with the point that that's when like the port fatigue starts to set in. Because like, okay, I played the thing on the last gen. Do I really play this again on this current gen? I mean, I played it on the Wii U. Do I want to play it again on the Wii? I mean, of course, when they brought like with the Bayonetta 1 and 2, yeah, that bundle edition, I mean, okay, it bundled with the first and second game together. Okay, fine, sure, that's okay. And of course, naturally, with just everything else from the third party, like Rocket League, Fortnite, like all these other titles that I easily played on the PS4 are now bringing to the Switch, is like, that's kind of the reason why I bought other systems in the first place. I mean, great if for Nintendo users who haven't have other systems, but I played them already, so yeah, nothing really like really stands out to me unless I really want to go to begin for like that on the mobile go to play this game. So yeah, regardless of this time of port currently right now, it's definitely understandable. Like, I'm worried that as we pretty much end this year of COVID of 2020, Nintendo, like, yeah, is there anything else you currently are cooking up right now aside from this? Like, are you gonna do another shutter up by next week of, I don't know, another like license that no one expects you to go back in, like as a joke around F-Zero, or like even just another teaser image of Metroid 4, or anything else that's you're cooking up in your library? Like that's is Nintendo's current trend right now. They're just doing shadow drops and just hoping it would stick, like with Origami Kingdom, like with Calamity, Age of Calamity. Like, all these like shadow drops they've been doing right now, they are pretty much hoping that like these things will stick. And while it does has some success in some aspects, like with Age of Calamity, I'm excited for that game to come out, and a lot of people are also pretty excited as well. Like, it only could go for so long. Like, it only goes so long. Like, yeah, you can only do so much shadow drops right now, and there is that risk of like, yeah, this is not gonna catch fans too much. I mean, you have been very lucky so far, but there's only so much and so long you do with these port jobs. So I agree. Like, you gotta have to start make something original as soon as possible. I agree.
Yeah, my biggest issue with Nintendo this year has, the games were frustrating largely, but what was released, I think all those games were quality. So from that perspective, I haven't been quite as let down as other people, but I think the biggest issue they've had this year is the way they've communicated with us.
Yeah, you were gonna say that. I knew you were gonna say that.
Yeah. Earlier in the year, there's a story that's kind of resurfaced in my brain recently about Shintaro Furukawa, Nintendo's president, saying that Nintendo Directs, while they're still useful now, may go away one day. They may find a better means of communicating. And that kind of starting to feel a little more haunting to me than it did at the time, because Nintendo, perhaps they are already looking for new ways to communicate, and they're failing miserably. The Nintendo Direct is still, for my money, the best presentation in the gaming world. I mean, it's fast paced, it's nonstop action. You almost always leave with one or two things that leave your jaw dropped that you're thrilled about. And for some reason this year, Nintendo has just thrown that aside. And I know everybody's going to say COVID, but we live in 2020. The technology is there to film part of a video, send that part to somebody else, and have them construct a video out of it. We would understand if the presentation wasn't perfect either. There's just no reason for them to have not done a full-blown Nintendo Direct at some point and packaged all of these announcements that we've seen this past week or these past 2 weeks. It just makes absolutely no sense. Instead, what we've gotten are these shadow drops, these partner showcases that seem designed to infuriate fans who are hungry for big news after having none for so long. And Nintendo's even on their social media accounts, they're just not doing enough to kind of loop us in on what's going on. They just have bought so far into this idea of just be patient, it's ready when it's ready, you the fan aren't entitled to anything, that it's starting to hurt their brand image overall. And I feel that the Nintendo Directs played such a key role in creating the modern Nintendo that we love, that I just can't for the life of me understand why they've been so vague about these things. And I'm not even asking for a presentation like E3, the first year that the Switch came out, where our minds are blown. I'm just looking for even a tweet that says, hey, listen, you know, COVID has held us back. We're working on stuff. Please look forward to a direct or a presentation on X day. You know, just let us behind a little bit. Let us see what's going on. Let us behind the curtain just a tiny bit. I think that would go such a long way to kind of placate the fans. Because honestly, the games they've released this year, I've really enjoyed. It just feels as though they're not listening to us at all. And it's really just been a frustrating experience. Really, they've always had that problem, but this year it's been far worse than ever.
Yeah, I'm pretty much in similar sentiments as well. It's like, as we, like, ever since the beginning of these Nintendo Directs with, like, again, with Iwata back then, again, like, that was kind of like the bread and butter of Nintendo, bringing these directly to us, because, again, it was addressing to us directly, to the fans, and, again, that's what makes us so happy and so trusting of Nintendo, because, again, Iwata knows, like, these presentations are for us, they are for the fans to, again, direct. The term, that definition of that word direct is, to me, like, there is no middleman, there is no, like, yeah, no smokescreen, what else. It is directly to us and to show all information, what they're showing, what they're cooking right now. And again, that was like our direct link to Nintendo. And yeah, just to, like, really see them so underutilized, especially like with mini directs, partner presentations. Like, okay, they're showing it, but it's, again, it's not actually directly addressing to us. It just feels like, okay, these are just like something to placate, or like just to keep us quote unquote satisfied, but honestly it's only to a very small percentage. Again, I'm happy for Shin Megami Tensei coming up. I'm very glad, because again, that's my base, but everything else is like, okay. And like, as much as I will give props to the indies, because again, indies definitely need their spot in the light, because again, you never know if there's like an indie title that really is very unique, like with Celeste and all that. So I'll give an exception to that, but everything else regarding to that, again, with lack of communication, just like, how do you really just, again, we say this many times over, is like how much they're playing close to the chest and just like not revealing anything is just, yeah, like, I can't imagine if that is what Furukawa is like wanting to steer with the company of Nintendo, because again, he's not Iwata, clearly. So he wants to like do this thing as more of a business model instead of like the whole designer model like with Iwata. I mean, sure, it's not fair to make compare the two, but it just feels like there is something lost in that transition of that leadership. And we're going to like the current year right now, I mean, sure, yes. As you said, COVID-19, while yes, it has affected us, people have adapted and can make something out of this hard time. I mean, again, they give video equipment to Sakura to Sakurai to make a direct presentation for Min Min. So they can definitely work around that. I mean, sure, it's difficult, but it can be worked around. So just to wrap it up, it's just, yeah, that lack of transparency and just everything else, like the directs being underutilized, that's what a lot of people just don't like right now.
Yeah, and bouncing off of that, we don't need much. Like Tyler said, the reason the directs have been so frustrating is that we had one that was a mini, quote unquote, when actually it wasn't. It was like 30 minutes long. And then we go silent for months. Then we actually do get minis, and they're either pathetic, weird, or stupid, or all of the above. And now we don't even know what to expect next. We keep getting these dang shadow drops, like with Origami King and with Pikmin, and now with Age of Calamity. And it's like, you couldn't just bundle some of these together into a direct and give us hope? I mean, we know that 2021 is going to be huge, especially with all these delay announcements that we've been getting, like with No More Heroes 3. But give us something to look forward to. I mean, Nintendo has been very secretive at times with how they were revealing their Switch games, and yet at times they'll show us Breath of the Wild 2 when it's years away from release, and then Metroid Prime 4 just to let us know that it's coming. We've had none of that this year. We have no idea what's coming out at times because we just aren't getting told anything, and then when we do get told something, it's told in the most anemic way possible. If it wasn't for Shin Megami Tensei 5, that first partner showcase would have been a freaking disaster. The second one was, exactly. It was more musical than anything else, and that's horrifying. All right, and yes, I'm blaming you, Kingdom Hearts. So, Just Dance, you get a pass. But, like, where's our teasers? Where's our teasers for, like, next big things? I'm not even talking about just first party. We came into this year expecting some big third-party releases like No More Heroes 3, which has been delayed, we understand. But where's Bravely Default? Where's all these other hidden projects that we know that Nintendo isn't working on with other third-party developers, and yet they've been telling us nothing?
No, you're totally right. And the material, even though the material isn't phenomenal, it's actually there. You could cobble together a Nintendo Direct where the big announcements are the Shin Megami Tensei Nocturne remake, Shin Megami Tensei 5 trailer, the Mario stuff, the Zelda, and the Pikmin Deluxe. And, like, it's not the best Direct in the world, but it's a decent Direct. I mean, that's content that hits a wide range of audiences, and you walk away thinking, okay, you know, maybe this isn't all for me, but hey, now I know what's coming. If they had released something like that in August, we still would have been frustrated because of how long it took them and the silence beforehand, but at least it would be something. They definitely could have done a Direct with the stuff that they have. Like, there's just no reason to go about it this odd piecemeal way on Twitter where you really can't get the hype machine going. That's the problem. The hype machine is just dead at this point.
All right, Will, what about you?
Yeah, you pretty much nailed everything mostly on the head with those two topics. Like, if anything, I feel with going to the current trend of Nintendo right now for this year, it's just simply about the games, because, like, the moment when they showed off the Mario 3D collection, I was like, I had some brief hope, like, oh, they're gonna bring it to, like, the Nintendo online service, yeah, and Nintendo online service subscriptions, and they have released it with Super Mario All-Stars, which, okay, great game, I love it on the SNES, are you gonna bring any more to it? And, like, when they showed off Super Mario 64, for the trailer, I mean, sure, it was rumored already, but at the beginning, I was like thinking, like, are they gonna finally bring Nintendo 64 games onto the Switch system? And unfortunately, that was not the case. So it's just the way I'm just feeling right now is just like, it's as we said many times before, like, are they gonna bring more incentives for, like, Nintendo service online service? Because I think that's pretty much the next step. Like, They're not bringing back the virtual console back on the original Wii U and the prior systems. They're just, like, really betting on, and of course, the slow drip of games for Nintendo Online Service for, like, okay, just, like, one, two games, like, for every season, it feels like, for the subscription service, even for that measly price of $20. I mean, okay, now the library is good and fine and all that, but, like, can you bring also other titles? I mean, as much as I want, like, will make a Japanese account for Nintendo to play Fire Emblem, the Japanese only Fire Emblem, can you also bring it over to the stateside, because there are people who want to play Japanese Japanese only games here stateside as well. I don't care if it's just Japanese. I will definitely learn some Japanese to play some titles here. It's just like there are some games that it's just you are sitting on top of many IPs that you're not utilizing right now. Like, I mean, we joke around this many times ago. I mean, you released F-Zero on Nintendo Switch online system and nothing else. Like, okay, just drip, just continuing slow dripping us these great titles that we know and love back in time, but that's it. You're just not really doing anything, no hints. As you said, with the no clarity, it's just like no hints of what you're doing, no hints of what you're like doing with these IPs. It's almost like, do you want our money or not? I mean, again, it's nothing. Oh, we have discussed this many times over, but it just feels so tiresome that they're literally sitting on so many good IPs and they're not utilizing it. Like from F-Zero, and of course, like again, we'll probably expect Donkey Kong soon. But yeah, we haven't heard Donkey Kong games in such a long time. And of course, like anything else from Pikmin, Star Fox, and like if they're gonna do anything without those IPs, and of course, I don't have even Takamaru's Castle. I'll gladly take a remake of Takamaru's Castle for the Switch anytime. It's just it's pretty much like with like a lot of people compare with the whole limited production as well. Like okay, the Game & Watch limited production, 3D All Stars, okay, limited production. Like really. Do you want money or not? Because like when you put in that real fine of limited production on these things, like you know you're just only like scalpers, right? I mean of course with the whole amiibos, all that, sure, that's pretty much obvious because you're not really gonna make amiibos forever. And of course it's just not worth it. But of course now with these rare amiibos, it's gonna jack up price. But once you put in like those limited productions onto those things, because I know a lot of people's gonna like jack up the prices for the Game & Watch Mario 35th edition, because again, those things are gonna sell the hotcakes. And of course, with the 3D All Star thing, we only sell it until the end of March. That is just like Nintendo. What are you doing? Like these limited production things is just like, oh, just make it as much as can, make it free. Don't put a time limit on it, and just like, yeah, we'll give you our money gladly. Just don't put in these extra terms and conditions, just so you have that. That promise of like you're gonna get sales. So yeah, I mean I'm pretty much going over the place. But yeah, just like the games they, the IPs they have, as well as like these really baffling decisions of like limited productions. It's just like, do you want money or not? Like, are you really going for the short term or do you want to go for the long term? That's what I'm pretty much going at.
And give me back my freaking Mario shoes. All right, I don't know how you've had so few to sell. I want my freaking Mario shoes. All right, I want my Air Jordans. So, there you are. You make good points. Well, look, we all know that Nintendo's probably gonna have a huge 2021 once the pandemic finally blows over. Hopefully, potentially, possibly, and we'll be praising them from king to king from start till finish. But that's still a couple months away. And we're basically in a desert of ports and certain titles. And hey, none of us got Animal Crossing. So we could have easily bought Animal Crossing and just been like, oh, at least we have this. We don't have that. None of us bought it. So there you go. And again, I don't know if I'll get the 3D All-Stars. I'll definitely be getting Hyrule Warriors just because I'll want something to play by the time I get to November. But I'm usually very excited about what's coming in the holiday season because Nintendo has set a precedent for the last few years of having big games in October, November, and sometimes December, whether it was Odyssey or Pokemon or Smash or Xenoblade. And now all we have is Age of Calamity, which is definitely not a game for everyone. So Nintendo's really dropped the ball this year. And part of it was pandemic. We totally understand that. But there are other aspects that they just totally screwed themselves on, and it's really sad. So, we will try and be hopeful, but as our podcast title notes, it's a very low bar of calamity. So, with that, we are ending this episode of the Nintendo Entertainment Podcast. Tyler!
Yeah, last week, did we have a poll question? I don't think we did.
Didn't we? I thought we did.
I don't know what you did last time, because like, I remember you said, like, regards to our, what was the topic last week?
What was our topic last week?
Yeah, no, I don't see one.
Oh.
This is awkward.
I bet you forgot to make it again.
No,
you forgot to make it, Tyler.
Yeah, no.
You
probably did.
No.
Fine. Well, this week we will have a poll question that Tyler is going to make right now.
Okay.
So, we're going to ask you very simply, grade Nintendo's 2020 so far. All right? A, B, C, F. No D's. None at all. So A, B, C, or F. Tell us what you think about Nintendo. I can't take everything into consideration here. All right? The announcements they have made, the fact that it's been a pandemic year, the games that have gotten released, both first party, third party, new import, and of course, the games we have not played yet. So take all that in consideration and then give us a grade. All right, I'm very curious to see what people say, because we're either going to get a lot of A's or a lot of F's. All right? I can just feel it, because that's usually how us gamers swing. So, and of course, let us know what you think about the reveal of Hyrule Warriors Age of Calamity. Did you get some of the Mario shoes? And if you did, can I please buy them off you? Are you excited for Pokemon Journeys? Are you sad that No More Heroes got delayed? Are you excited for Scott Pilgrim to come back? And what do you think is Nintendo's biggest failure of the year? Let us know in the comments below. So, that's my other show. I'm tired. So, for Tellius Tyler and Wario Will, I am Triforce Todd. And ladies and gentlemen, we are out of time. We are not out of lives. We made it to the end of the level. So, raise the flag!